Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I am back. I went to Moab, Utah, and now I am back.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was pretty amazing.
Sounds cool.
Ooh, yeah. Danny's got ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring it up for everybody?
No. Guys, I went to Moab. Don't you guys want to hear about...
Man, no, I'm dog sitting, and I got free Johnny Pops that I'm writing.
Oh, I'd kill for some ice cream right
now. It's good. All right, I only brought two others. Sam, Derek, you get some.
Oh, come on! And welcome to another scrumptious episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, a garbage country that sucks, except for Moab. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
Danny finishes ice cream.
You still working
on that?
I did.
I'm done. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope it was nice, Danny.
Oh, now he's got a beer.
I know.
That's it. All right. I don't have to impress you.
Popsicles are available at the 12 Points for America store, but they should be soon.
That's right. Yeah, we have a store. Have you been to our store, listener? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Yeah, 12 Points for America at Redbubble. We've got some great things. You can get a mask, like a mask, the type that you should be wearing. We also have shirts, the kind that you should be wearing. They are emblazoned with our logo or some of our favorite inside jokes. And you can let everybody know that you're a friend of the show and that you get our jokes by wearing your Rhythm Inside shirt or your I Am a Composer shirt or whatever else I come up with between now and Friday.
Sounds like a plan. Be sure to hit us up on social media. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to find us on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Or you can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or find us at our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Good times.
Well, that was a fun show. Or no, wait, we have more. We're just going to kind of chat this week, I think.
We have enough news and like info coming in from a couple of different Eurovision adjacent directions that's basically going to be the whole show this week.
Yeah, we're in that sort of weird kind of semi-off season right about now where there's not a ton going on, but at the same time, the little crumbs that the universe serves us are still scrumptious enough that we could still hoard them and chew them up a little bit and then spit them out for you guys at home to listen to. So,
it's whirls.
Mm-hmm. It's like birding. We chew it so that you can digest it. You're welcome. That's what we do here in America. Oh boy.
Well, in about 2 months, we're going to be replete with a ton of news because JESC is going to be
right at our doorstep. Yeah.
Completely the same? No.
Not even close.
That format is going to be changed, but it's still going to be at the same time as it was last year. So the way things fall during the year is still the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we for those American listeners, we have Junior Eurovision around the weekend of Thanksgiving, give or take a couple of days. For those of us who celebrate Christmas, Festival e Kungës from Albania is generally around Christmas. So yeah, I mean, things aren't normal, but things are kind of normal in a way. It's weird. I don't know. It scares me, but at least we've got music.
At least we've got music. My favorite fake Paula Abdul song.
Yay.
Speaking of fake Paula Abdul, Sanit keeps doing things. That's mean.
That is mean.
She is.
Yikes.
She's not the fake Paula. She's the realest Sanit there is. We know this. I don't know of any other Sanit. But no, she is fabulous. So yes, her freaky trip to Rotterdam for next year rolls on unabated. And as a birthday gift from her to us, she ended up covering Cliff Richard's Congratulations, the evergreen from way back when, but covering it stylistically as a sort of David Bowie at a circus-themed beach party, because that's...
Ah, so David Bowie.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, normal normal Bowie. But yeah, I'm still loving it, and her.
I like that she's really, like, digging deep, going back, and not just, like, covering the songs you
the
would
expect.
The
winners or the most popular ones. Yeah, she's really doing whatever she wants.
Or Euphoria, which I especially appreciate.
Yeah.
You've just jinxed us. Next time, she's probably just going to do Euphoria, isn't she?
Yeah.
The Waterloo. Probably.
I appreciated that our friends over at Star Spangled Eurovision, I think it is, are doing the Eurovision fan home concerts.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in their last call for songs, they specifically said, don't send Euphoria.
Please. We don't want to have to deal with it again.
Mm-hmm. lot of people were doing Euphoria, so they put the kibosh on that. No more Euphoria. And Derek rejoiced.
Good for them.
Guys, cheat sheet. Just sing Glorious from Cascada following year. Just do that instead. You're golden.
I don't get it.
The joke back in 2013 was that Glorious was basically just a ripoff of Euphoria.
A lot like how we ranked a bunch of Fuegos the year after Fuego.
Yep, exactly.
There were Euphorias before there were Fuegos. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of bits of Melfest news, too.
We do. It's just come through today from the Swedish broadcaster that Melfest is going all in on Stockholm next year.
Stockholm only!
Yep.
This is a Stockholm only party. Go home.
If your home is Stockholm, yeah. If you're in Linköping, then you're SOL. But I mean, you know. Yeah, so rather than their annual swing all up and down Sweden from Malmö to Luleå or whatever the heck is way the heck up.
I was going to say, because I don't follow Melfest as closely as you and Eric do, and probably even as closely as Derek does. But I didn't know that. Like, they do little competitions in the tiny little podunk towns, like
not little podunk
live from Åland. Oh no, that's Finland.
They go to cities that are large enough to have some sort of arena, but
the Omahas of Sweden,
basically.
Okay.
Generally each event at Melody Festivalen is held in a different city, with traditionally the final being held in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. But next year, for reasons of we all know what, they've decided to just centralize it in Stockholm. They haven't actually confirmed a venue within Stockholm. Normally it's, you know, one of the big venues like the Globen or Friends Arena or Tele 2.
The Hinga Dinga Arena.
Yep. The good old Hinga Dinga. They haven't said what venue it's going to be. For some, that might just be they're hammering out details. They might be putting it in a studio rather than the big arena. We might have an audience. They might not. We don't know. So this is all just news that's come out today. So we'll see what develops. But at this point, those of you who are looking to attend a Melody Festival, an event in Gothenburg, will be sorely disappointed. So sorry, guys.
Yep.
This is something that we've touched on before just because of the pandemic, but I really hope that it doesn't go well so that they won't think that this is a viable alternative for next year's. Like, I don't like the way that, or this is to say, I hope that the changes that they are making this year are not seen as viable, good changes to continue into years from now when there is not a pandemic. It's more fun the old way.
I agree, but it's nice to have the backup just in case the effluvia continues to hit the rotary air distribution devices. Yes.
Yeah. I understand it's a lot more economically feasible to do it this way, too.
Oh, absolutely.
No, no. Send it to Gothenburg.
Do it.
Oh.
Do it.
There's also some Melfest alumni news.
Yeah.
You know, in a way. Whatever Mariette is.
Yeah, Melfest alum. Absolutely. She is a perpetual Melfest fave, especially from those of us here in the podcast.
Yes, she is.
Yep.
Oh, she's great.
She is great. And she's off the market. Lucky lady's got engaged. Congratulations. Aww. Mazel tov to her.
Way to go.
Yay, Mariette.
You did it.
Not the only engagement from this week. We also just got word that the dunk himself,
getting hitched.
Yep.
Way to go, Duncan Lawrence.
Yeah.
Getting married Duncan. To Jennifer Lawrence, so that neither of them have to change their names for professional purposes.
Nope.
All right.
Instructions unclear. Change name to Duncan Jennifer. No, he is marrying his
Jordan Garfield, an American songwriter who I think actually collaborated with him on his most recent single. So, single no more, but...
Aha!
Aha!
Ironically, it was a single. He also announced he's releasing a new full-length album. I believe it is called Small Town Boy.
Yep.
And
it should be out in November, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, his EP from earlier this year was quite good. I enjoyed quite a few songs on that. I'm curious to see if this is just going to be, as is sometimes the case, the same songs from the EP and then like five more, so it's a full length, or if this is going to be all new. I hope it's all new. To that end, I didn't put this on our show notes, but you know who else is releasing an album in the coming months?
Yes?
It is none other than the Dirty Dancer himself.
Oh.
Luca Hani.
Yeah.
And this album is all new songs.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to have She Got Me and a couple other songs.
Well, that's not a new song.
Right. As a bonus track. Like some of his previously released stuff is going to be at the end as like bonus stuff. But the album itself is going to be all new. Nice. And he's released a couple of singles. They sound pretty cool. Luca Hani's great. Please come on the show, Luca Hani. I'm sure you're listening, but come hang out with us. We are very cool, like you. It'll be perfect. Thanks, everyone.
Yay. I think we should probably take a quick moment to have our own shameless self-plug. Actually, it's not self-plug. It's really more for Eric. But our dear friends over at ESC Insight, our sibling podcast over there, Finn Ross Russell, we mentioned you had reached out, or Finn had reached out to you in the last couple of months. Eric, why don't you talk about the piece that's just been released over at Insight?
Sure. Yeah. Finn from ESC Insight, who is great, by the way. Shout out to Finn, friend of the show.
Hey, Finn.
That he was doing an audio documentary about the cancellation of Eurovision and the effect it had on fans, on media, on podcasters, which is where I came in, and so on. And asked if I would be part of this, be one of the people featured in this thing. And I was. I did an interview. I actually don't remember when. It was sometime over the summer. And it released within the last couple of weeks. And I'm really pleased with how it turned out. It was really fun to be a part of it. I didn't know when I did the interview that another one of the participants was one of the artists from 2020. And one of our favorites at that, Leslie Roy from Ireland, is on this same thing that I was on, which I thought was pretty exciting. It makes it seem like we know each other and we're friends.
You were in the green room together.
That's right. Yeah, we all interviewed at the same time, question mark, maybe? I don't know. But it turned out really well. Everybody's viewpoints are really interesting. So it was me. It was Leslie. Was just a fan who had just gotten into the contest. And then another media member. And then
my friend of the show. Katya, actually, who I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katya. That's right. And Ellie Chalkley, another friend of the show, was on briefly as well. Also from ESC Insight. And it turned out really well. Finn is a great guy. He is a great producer. And I feel really fortunate to have been part of this, to have gotten to talk about my feelings about what has really been a wild year in Eurovision and otherwise. It's just been, you know, it's been so weird. And yeah, miss you guys. I miss a lot of things, as kind of we were talking about before we started recording. And I hope, really, really hope that things get under control. And God willing, that option A for 2021, the one that's just, it's normal. Is it all realistic? I don't know if it is, but maybe. The window is as open for it now as it's ever going to be. And
I think we can all be pretty optimistic as far as Europe is concerned.
As far as Europe's concerned, yeah.
Yeah. It's whether they let us in. That's the big question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is probably going to be the question. But we'll see.
We'll see.
But yeah. Check out that documentary on ESC Insight. It turned out really well. A lot of great insightful things. As you can imagine, from that.
Did.
So check it out.
Thanks, Finn. You're welcome to crash our podcast at any point. You are officially, can we officially dub Finn a friend of the show?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yes. Da, da, da.
How many friends of the show do we have now?
I'm many.
Like six?
Seriously or not seriously?
how many of them know that they're friends of the show? And not just like Jan Ula Sand, who we say is a friend of the show, but like.
Well, he is.
He is, yes. He just doesn't know it, does he?
We've shanghaied him being a friend of the show.
We'll put a friend of the show. You
know, some of them are close and others are just sort of there.
we should put a page on our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com.
Yeah, friends of the show. Yeah, I'll go through the archives, figure out everybody we ever called a friend of the show. because I clearly don't have enough random things to work on. Speaking of which, Statmotron is... Emotron's good. I went on vacation like right after we recorded the last show. So I haven't really done a whole lot with the Statmotron, but there are some things I want to add. I have started, but have not completed some other things about each song. I want to take a look at like how the songs were picked, internal selection versus national final. See if there's any interesting correlations there between Eurovision performance and that sort of thing. I don't think there is, but why not put in hours of work and find out? Also, things like song style, tempo, BPM, it's going to be a pain, but I would like to do it. I also want to take a look at, and this is another thing that's just going to be an unbelievable amount of data entry, but I want to know if there's any pattern to when a song is released before the contest and how it ends up doing.
That's a good question.
In relation to like distance from the contest itself, where it's released in relation to the other songs in the contest, you know, is it beneficial to wait? These are things I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows, but
it's going to get really complicated though, because you'll have artists like, I feel like Conchita Wurst was announced as participating for Austria super, super early in the process for 2014. But Rise Like a Phoenix didn't come out until really, really late.
Hmm.
So that's another, you know, another very confusing question.
Yeah. I'm just curious if there's any sort of strong indicator, statistical indicator of how to do well at the contest or how to win the contest. I want to find it. I want to find it so that I can have Azerbaijan
so streamlined that
for the secrets.
Take that, love, peace.
That's right.
So speaking of data, and in my brain that goes to programming, which goes to video games. There, yeah. I know tenuous links. I'll take whatever crumbs I can get and squish together.
No, I love Sam. She's been doing a lot of free association and therapy lately.
Oh yeah. Purple Monkey Dishwasher. Anyway, Just Dance.
Yep. We found out. So Just Dance, exceedingly popular like rhythm game series that has been going on for a long time. Just Dance 2021 is on the horizon, and one of the songs in it is Uno by Little Big.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing to me. The thing that's funny about it, I think, is that Just Dance.
Choreography from the video?
Well, not exactly, because Just Dance is watching hand movements. Mm-hmm. Mostly.
Yeah,
and a lot of
knees.
Yeah, Uno is a lot of knees. There is a preview video of like what it looks like, and there are definitely some parts like that part.
Mm-hmm.
That's about what it is in the video, but other parts of it are different. And this was, I think, I did not have time to fully look into this. I think this is the first official Eurovision song in an American rhythm video game since Hard Rock Hallelujah was a DLC song in Rock Band.
I know that I've seen Satellite on Just Dance. I don't know if that was original content or if that was a Europe-only version of the game. I feel like Toy may have been as well. I don't know enough about the game to say whether it was original content or like fan-created afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know, honestly, Just Dance could probably do a Eurovision-only special edition.
They could, and they absolutely should. They won't, but they should. On the topic of user content, this is getting into something very specific and something that is enjoyed by me specifically and basically nobody else. But there is, I was just absolutely stunned to learn this. There is a VR rhythm game called Beat Saber. It's a bit like, you know, like your Guitar Hero or something like that, except instead of playing a guitar, you have to slash blocks as they come at you with virtual lightsabers. It's super fun. It's a surprisingly great workout. But the PC version of Beat Saber has a pretty extensive community of people making custom songs. The game supports custom content being put in pretty easily. And I was checking out one of these big fan sites that has tons and tons of custom like charts, maps, whatever you want to call them, based on different songs. And I was curious to see if there was anything Eurovision in there, because it'd be super cool to play Beat Saber to, you know, Toy or Spirit in the Sky or some of these other cool Eurovision songs. And I thought, well, there's no way, because nobody knows what these, you know, nobody knows these. Like, it's such a niche thing. As it turns out, I was wrong. There is a single, mostly this one modder, one user, who has put dozens of Eurovision songs into the game. So I was
able to... I like two things. I like Beat Saber and Eurovision. And yeah. I don't care if the community's not there.
Yeah. Well, at least in the case of one person, me, very much is there. I want to give a shout out to this person. I cannot imagine... I mean, maybe this person listens to the show. I hope you do. So shout out to Matush, I think is your name. If you are a listener of this show, let it be known that your work is very much appreciated. And the songs to choose from that he's set these things to is really impressive. They're kind of all over the place. We have The Roop. We have Sar Alto. We've got, there's one for Love, Love, Peace, Peace. That's by a different person, it appears. We've got Electro Velvet. We've got Hattari. We've got Spirit in the Sky. We've got Storm by Victor Krohn. We've got...
Storm?
Yeah, we've got Fire of Love.
Sorry, Storm?
That's what he said.
Like in the priority list. Well, actually, you know what? Eurovision songs to put in there. These... We decided that we needed Storm before.
You know what? I may have misspoken. There are actually a couple of different people who do this. There are two people doing this. So shout out to Madush. Shout out to Philetus or Philetus. I don't know. But they've got Mustache by Twin Twin in there. They've got Party for Everybody.
Yay.
They've got Beautiful Mess.
Do they have gender? Got,
yes.
They've got Euro Neuro.
Yes.
Do they have Jedward?
Let me check. Oh, they've got Running Scared. That's a big one. They've got one of the Johnny Logan winners. They've got Heroes. I mean, this is...
That's a roster. That is a roster right
it's
there.
It's great. It is so cool that somebody is doing this. Danny, who was it that you were wondering about? Jedward? How much Jedward do we have? We have Waterline, and that's it.
Hey, one out of two ain't bad.
It's... I mean, yeah, I suppose not.
Only when lipstick's on Beat Saber.
I will let you know when lipstick is in Beat Saber. It seems like it's only a matter of time. But yeah, we've got Tattoo Song from Eurovision. We've got Track Shitters, which I still can't believe.
Are we allowed to say
thing.
That on this podcast, by the way?
Yeah,
are we allowed to mention the Austrian act from 2012 on this podcast?
I don't see why not. Okay, we've got 1944. Sure. For some reason, there is well-reviewed one of Wake Up by Elliot. Which you wouldn't expect because it's kind of, you know,
Belgian.
Yeah. just so chill. Beat Saber is very much about the EDM and that sort of thing. But Euphoria is there. Arcade is there. Jesse Matador's song is unexpectedly there, just like in the Eurovision movie.
You know what? I'm going to step in and defend Jesse Matador. Ale Ola Ole is a bop. It is an absolute bop, and he deserves way more credit than he got on the scoreboard that night.
Surprisingly high reviews for Philetus's Scooches, Flying the Flag for You in the game. We have so many.
You don't have to go through them all. Honestly,
can I do one more?
Okay, one more.
All right, because I'm not familiar with this song. I'm just seeing the cover art and I'm confused. It is apparently the 2008 entry from Latvia.
Oh God. Don't tell me they did Wolves of the Sea.
Oh, they did.
Oh, God.
What's the deal there?
Why don't you go ahead and play that one and get back to us? We'll talk about it on the next podcast. How about that?
Wolves of the Sea. All right.
Hold on to your butts. Anyway, when it comes to user-created, listener-fan-created content, it goes beyond just, you know, podcasting like this or creating Beat Saber. It also goes to incredible musical moments like this. And
sure does. I know what's coming.
Yeah, I came across on Twitter a fan-created mashup that will haunt my dreams and yet make them better at the same time. So what exactly do you get when you mix Dancing Lasha Tumbai and the song that, for the purposes of this podcast, and so we don't get slapped with a explicit label, considering we've already mentioned the track shit is like three times so far, WAP, evidently you get magic.
Right now, we all are just kind of like on a mashup song kick. Crocodile Chop is a legend and a classic, but this is close. This is honestly close. Even I, who am not actively on Twitter, this spilled over into Facebook and Tumblr, so I've seen this. This is unforgivably unforgivable. I will leave it at that. This is top 10 mashups of the year.
It's so good. It's so good. And probably my favorite Eurovision related mashup since I heard Lady Gaga's Poker Face with Charlotte Pirelli's Hero. This absolutely beats Hero Face.
Hero Face.
Yeah.
Let us not forget Wailer Swift.
Never forget Wailer Swift.
Oh yeah. It's been too long.
That was and you know what? That is one that you can absolutely be proud of, Eric, considering I know that you made that one. So
I did.
You made Wailer almost palatable. Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Almost.
Just wait until I mash up Waylon with WAP. Waylon AP, as it were.
Oh.
Am I actually going to do that? You're just going to have to wait and find out. The answer is a resounding maybe.
Crack open a bottle of that honey whiskey that you got while you're on your trip and see where the road takes you, huh?
Just see what happens.
Okay. In other entertainment news, we have gotten the nominations in from the People's Choice Awards here in the US, and Fire Saga is up for a pair of nominations, believe it or not, as both the best comedy movie and, for Will Ferrell himself, best comedy movie star. So, yeah, that's a thing.
I question the suitability of even mentioning the People's Choice Awards on this.
You know
podcast.
What?
I believe Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards are more closely followed than the People's Choice Awards.
You know, like I said before, this time of year, I grasp at whatever crumbs I can get.
I know.
And the knowledge that I think that because it was exclusively released on Netflix, that Fire Saga will not be up for any Oscars, so we're not going to have them. You know, Husovic will probably not going to be. It's probably not going to be eligible for nomination for Best Song.
I can't believe they chintzed out on that. Even The Room got released and got a theatrical release. They couldn't shell out for 2 weeks of a movie theater
because they were all closed.
This is true, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like there's potential for it to. I mean, I don't think it's going to
have a quick re-release in some theater somewhere. I'm sure if they could easily socially distance, but fill up the amount of tickets that they'd be willing to sell at a theater somewhere in West Hollywood and have it as a theatrical run in a theater in Los Angeles, making it eligible for an Oscar. I think that's the rule, right? It has to have some sort of an actual theatrical release in
LA. It does. It has to have 2 weeks of theatrical release before December.
Okay.
Before I would not be shocked if there were some changes to that for this year, considering the circumstances that they may loosen that. But I don't know. I know they've said that it's not going to be at the usual time and so on. But yeah, I feel like they need to be more specific about which people are making the choice with these awards. I think
it's public voting.
Which people?
Well,
oh, you get, yeah. So
I mean, there I was one public vote that said Kano was the best song, so...
Yeah, but you're a person, not people. This is like the people's hammer, or like the people's court. Like, there has to be a couple people there.
Like the people's elbow?
Yeah, the people's elbow, move. Yeah.
In other movie news, it looks like, and I didn't find this out until a little bit later, I didn't recognize this when I heard the song, but Borat 2 will be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the music of the aforementioned Little Big appears in its trailer. It's a cover of the classic CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now, done by Little Big.
My God.
Yeah. Those are two tastes that I never expected to go together.
That sounds
and now
like
that
a
they
lot.
Are, I can't separate them. So Little Big, CNC Music Factory, Sacha Baron Cohen.
I had no idea they were even making that movie.
And Neither did I until I saw a trailer.
Yeah. I know. It's like announcing that there's like another sequel to Austin Powers or something. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I have the strength, Frodo.
I'm not sure if I could sit through an entire Borat movie, but I want to see like clips here and there. I don't go in for Schadenfreude, even though the Schadenfreude is generally well-deserved. So why don't we look forward to the two contests that are on our horizon so far? So we've got Junior Eurovision coming up in November. Field is still at about 13 countries. Not about 13 countries. It is 13 countries confirmed. Italy keeps tossing the idea back and forth, supposedly, according to rumors that maybe they'll cobble together a last-minute entry. But we won't know until the EBU announces it. Had a handful of recent national finals over the last week and a half, 2 weeks or so. Well, basically since our last show. And in all of those national finals, all five were won by female acts. Either solo females or, in the case of the Netherlands, a girl group.
Yep.
Yep.
Take that, boys. All of them.
Yeah. But that being said, Serbia selected internally and they're sending their first boy ever. So, you know.
Serbia finally has a boy.
Yep.
Serbia was finally able to find one.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yep.
It was growing in a turnip patch.
There's some decent songs in this bunch. I'm sure we'll do like a preview show, so I don't want to say too much, but you know who I think is really going for it? Like really, really going for it, pulling at the heartstrings and all that?
Yeah.
Is Kazakhstan.
Oh yeah.
Enlighten me because I haven't, you know, well, I don't follow the Jesk.
Yeah. It's a pretty just strong emotional ballad sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna quote one of the YouTube comments that sums it up nicely. So powerful in all caps. And then in parentheses, song about her dad, he's dead.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, that's what it's about. It's a pretty, pretty heavy thing to be sung by a little kid. But that's kind of the age we live in.
For a second, I did forget that they were all, you know, like 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds singing this.
Right, exactly. But then again, I mean, Russia a couple of years ago won with a song about child abuse. And there have been songs about being a kid in wartime. And I feel like half of last year's songs were all about the environmental crisis and being a kid growing up in that. So just because this is a youth-centered contest doesn't mean that they can't touch on serious topics. It's not just all, I like candy, which granted Georgia is really, really good at doing when they do it. But yes.
Who doesn't like candy?
Right. You know what else Georgia is good at sending? Bees. Should we play a clip? I think we should play a clip.
Oh, yeah.
Dirk, be us. If you're really confused about what just happened, first of all, so are we. Second of all, that is the winner from 2008, Biz Kebby, with Bzzz. They won Junior Eurovision by making bee noises for 3 minutes in perfect harmony, and we love them very, very much.
And if the listeners want to know all about Biskibi, they'll have to listen to the back catalog back like one full year.
Yep. So many bees. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yep. So it also looks like the Spanish broadcasters just kind of released a little bit of a teaser of the plans that the EBU have given to broadcasters for what their stages should look like at the studios for each individual country.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, because like we'd said in earlier podcasts, this upcoming Junior Eurovision, all the kids aren't going to Poland to perform. They will be performing from their studios in their home countries. But to have an even playing field, each studio will be set up basically the same way. So you're not going to have, you know, one country with this incredible LED festooned stage and the other one just basically in a warehouse. So... trying to even out the playing field. And so, yeah, it'll be big enough that I think there could be some great stagings that could happen, but still small enough that it's not going to bankrupt a broadcaster just to do this for one song. So we'll see how it all turns out on TV this November. Yep, used to the times we're living in.
You think Kazakhstan, like, especially if they win Junior, they're going to be on any sort of track to compete in grown-up Eurovision at some point?
That's a huge question, honestly.
I know.
That's a question.
What's the answer?
I don't know.
Behind the scenes, they're probably really pushing for it. And you can tell take it really seriously. They put some money in it.
I imagine they do pretty well, I would think.
Oh, yeah. If what they send to Eurovision would be anything like what the songs they sent to Turkvision were like, or the songs they sent to Junior Eurovision, Kazakhstan could be a force.
Sure could. Speaking of pure forces, we have some 2021 Eurovision news, including, let's see. Whoa, let's talk about Slovenia, the best country.
It's got love.
Go on.
Yeah, Anna Soklic, we already knew that Anna was going to be internally selected for Slovenia this year because she didn't get the chance to go to Rotterdam this year. And they basically had a big call out to songwriters all over Slovenia saying, send Anna what you got. And she has gotten 191 songs sent her way.
When you wrote that in the notes, I thought it was a joke. She's really gotten 191 submissions?
Yeah. I mean, who knows how good they are? I mean,
yeah.
You probably toss about 150 of those straight away.
I was going to say.
Yeah. How many of them are by Clemen?
How many of them are by those, just the two guys who upload everything to Beat Saber?
Like 72. Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what they do for her for next year. I don't know if they're going to do kind of like what they did for Roxanne or for Eden Lane this year, where they'll give like the top five and they'll have people vote on that, or if it's just going to be internal. We don't know. Or if it's just, you know, a massive, massive TV special where she'll have to sing 191 songs.
it'll be like San Remo, only there's only one singer.
For days and days.
Mm-hmm. It's just horrible. Just
horrible
just
or amazing?
Horrible.
Yeah, actually.
Pretty sure. Speaking of horrible, we also got some not so great news. The news is not great, and the reasoning behind it is, I think, even worse. Val, our friends in Belarus, who did Davidna in 2020...
Not coming back.
Nope.
They're not coming back. And the reason they're not coming back is...
It's not their fault. Yeah, not their choice.
Yeah, some great amount of disagreement with the Belarusian government, which is obviously in what we'll call an interesting place right now. And I say that as an American.
Yep.
And the state media did not have especially kind things to say about Val, which is really, really disappointing and unfortunate. The statement from them is... And I quote, "The Val group will really not go to Eurovision 2021. And this will happen not because something broke at BTRC or censorship, but because the artists of the Val group have no conscience."
What the actual crap?
Throw down.
I don't know what else to say about this. I don't want to get polonium or whatever. But Val, you were cool. And
Val and are certainly not the only act that we know from the Eurovision Belarusian sphere that have stood up and protested alongside the massive, massive protests that have been going on in Minsk and really throughout the country for the last couple of weeks and months. We've seen, you know, Val literally out in the streets handing out water and you know, supporting people in protests. We've seen the folks from Navi Band doing the same. My friends over at Light Sound, Dima and Vladimir have been out there as well. And
Is Zena really out there?
I haven't seen, but it's really hard to see just artists doing what they do, whether that's performing for people and expressing themselves and being thrown under the bus by their broadcaster for doing that. And I can't say I'm surprised, but it's still heartbreaking to see.
Yeah.
So they, I think in a time like this, if the broadcaster and which is, you know, again, a state-owned broadcaster, a government-owned broadcaster, if they're not going to support their artist, it's incumbent upon us as listeners and as Eurovision fans to support them. So stream their music, listen to their music. If they have, you know, any sort of Patreon or anything like that, support them in the way that you feel appropriate. So if they are standing up and we need to stand up with them, so that's my take on it.
Would you believe the broadcaster had more mean things to say?
Oh, shock
horror. Do I have to hear them?
They basically made a dig about their, about the country made a dig at essentially their own place in the betting odds, effectively saying, well, they would have finished second to last in the semifinal anyway. Just completely like under the bus.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. It's a lot of low blows and stuff. Like, I don't, it really bums me out. Like, that wasn't my favorite song from this past year by a long shot or anything, but like,
it was one of mine, but I mean, I liked it a lot personally. But you know, you stand by your artists, whether they do well or not, whether the fans, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance we just don't see Belarus in 2021?
I'm honestly, like I said in a previous episode, I'm still kind of surprised that we're going to see them at Junior.
Mm-hmm. Have they said what they're doing for Junior yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, that ought to be interesting. Certainly there will be nothing weird or uncomfortable about that, right? Everybody's giving me weird looks on the Zoom. I think it's going to be weird, you guys.
I think it will be weird.
We live in interesting times.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else on our news roster, guys?
Oh, gosh. Some other stuff in Beat Saber. No, I'm kidding. One late breaking thing I saw, obviously this doesn't mean anything entirely on its own, but it sounds like at least the industry professionals in Montenegro have begun pushing for their return. We'll see. I mean, it's not their call is the thing, but they're pushing for it. So,
well, supposedly they dropped out of what would have been the 2020 contest for financial reasons, and they ended up investing that money supposedly in getting a couple of fleets of cars for the broadcaster, which, you know, it's a necessary expenditure, I suppose, when you're a broadcaster that's not rolling in dough. But yeah, if you're going to skip out on any year, may as well be 2020. So that's hopefully true. They'll come back. I think Montenegro is a great underrated little country.
We haven't heard from Rambo Amadeus in nearly a decade. He's up to something.
I say bring Hussey back. I love them. Get a Gronka.
I think we can all agree that bringing back a Gronka would be killer.
Yep.
It'd be great.
And on that note, I think I'm going to sign off and listen to a Gronka and then listen to Dancing Lasha Dumbai in all sorts of fabulous mashups. What about you guys?
I'm not going to do either of those things, but I probably will log off. Play some Beat Saber, probably.
There you go.
You know. Shout out to the Beat Saber Eurovision people. You really seriously made my day a while back. Like, I could not believe it. That was so cool. So thanks, Beat Saber Eurovision people, friends of the show.
Ooh.
Put them on the list.
All right. Is that us? Is that it for us tonight then, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. And don't forget about our social medias, 12pointsUSA on Twitter and Facebook, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Check us out on Redbubble and leave us a review if you're enjoying the show, if you hate the show, if you have a very middling opinion of the show, let us know. We want to know how we can make it more middling or more whatever. So yeah, we love your very good and perfect feedback. So thanks.
All right. Well, in that case, I guess we'll regroup in a couple of weeks then, see what other news we can cobble from the from the place where we cobbled news from.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Well, in that case, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
In America.
Stop listening now. Derek.
Fine. Zip,
zip.
A googly.
One zip, zip.
Googly.